Well, I want to start this today's sermon by just a little testimony. I've been a Christian for a long time, 35 years. And after 35 years, I come to a conviction and a realization when I do my reflection and quiet time, that this is my conviction, and then this is my realization that as a Christian, it is totally possible to live a faithful discipleship life, at the same time enjoy the abundance of blessing that God has provided for us. It is totally compatible. A lot of people say, oh, if you are a Christian, you're going to suffer and you know, like gloomy and heavy burden and all that thing. But for 35 years that I follow Jesus, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect, a lot of failures here and there, and life is not always up in the high mountain praising the Lord, hallelujah, and all that. A lot of time it is in the valleys, you know, dealing with relationship issue, dealing with work, dealing with family, those all happen. But at the same time, God never failed to prove himself faithful. God never failed to prove himself care. And it is totally, as I said, possible to experience abundance life, a blessed life, and walk as a Christian on earth. So, as a pastor of this church, I really want to see each one of you, your life, successful, growing in wisdom. I want to see that. I want to see each one of you becoming mature, live life in abundance, and see you fulfilling God's will. That is, as a pastor, I think if you ask any pastor, that is the heart of the pastor. When the pastor look at the congregation, that is the hope, the wish, the prayer. Every time that I pray about the church, I see your face, and that's what I want. God, help this person to experience your love, your abundance. Now, if I am as a pastor, can feel or think that way about you, even more your Heavenly Father, who created you, love you, and save you from sin, and give you the gift of eternal life. If me, as a pastor who actually do not really know your inner struggle, you know, everybody have inner struggle, inner desire, hope and dream, and everything that they hold dear in their heart. If I, as a pastor, can say that I care for you, that I want to see you grow and be successful, even more, your Heavenly Father who created you, who knows your inner struggle, who knows your aspiration and dream. He loves you so much. And he wants to see each one of us successful, live in abundance the way that he created us to be. But a lot of time, we doubt God. We doubt that he is for us and not against us. We doubt that God is a kind God, that he wants to bless us. And sometimes we got surprised. Hey, suddenly I got an immediate blessing. I mean, blessing should be a daily occurrence when you live according to the word of God and you obey him. But because a lot of time we live out of line from his word, blessing we do not experience. And when we experience it, we get surprised. We got surprised. Oh, wow. We need to be thankful but not surprised. Thankful is one posture of the heart. Surprise is like, I don't expect you to do this, God. But, wow, God. You know, sometimes when you pray for a sick people, you're surprised, right? If that person is healed. You should be surprised if it is not healed. Because God wants to give the healing. God wants to bless us. There's a wife. Let me tell you a story. There's a wife whose husband has a sickness, suffer from severe heart disease. One day, she got a phone call that says that she just won a lottery. However, if she tells her husband that she won $1 million, she's afraid that her husband could get shocked and immediately pass away. So the wife thought hard as how to break this news to the husband without shocking him. So finally, she invited the pastor and explained to him, what's the plan to ensure the news of the $1 million lottery could be delivered without her husband having a heart attack. So the pastor then come to the husband, and then he chatted, he asked, how are you doing? How is your health? And how is the children? He asked the husband with a nice chat. So eventually, the pastor slowly started to move toward the goal. And this is what he said. Sir, what if, right, be careful, what if, this is only an if, okay? What if you win a lottery of $1 million? So the pastor asked very carefully. The husband confidently said, sir, pastor, I usually give 10% to the church. But because I am old and will soon return home, then I will give 90% of the amount to you, pastor, and to the church. Suddenly, there was a loud falling noise. Gubrak! Gubrak is the best word in Indo, Gubrak! A falling noise. And turns out that the pastor was the one who got a heart attack from the shock. Shocked by the blessing. Well, that's just an illustration. It's an illustration that sometimes, we don't understand how good our God is. And when he blessed us, we are more surprised than thankful. And today I want to continue our discussion and our message. And remember, we are traveling back 2,500 years in time to the time of a prophet by the name of Haggai. And we will see that Haggai is delivering the word of God, God's intention for his people. And you need to know, and I need to know, and we learn together that God is good. That is the foundation of our thoughts and our faith. God is good. We believe that God was about to bless his people in this book of Haggai. We learn that God was about to bring such a blessing to the community. But at the same time, God is facing an issue. That issue is this community is again and again and again and again and again easily get discouraged. And you can also see how good God is. He never give up encouraging his people. Just a quick review. It's been 16 years. The people of God during that time, it's about 500 before Christ, B.C., 500 years before Christ. This is the story is around. And it's been 16 years. People were intimidated by the culture that is not supportive to the faith, so they stopped the building of the temple. And then they got encouraged, the word of Haggai came, and they got encouraged. They start again after 16 years. But just after 1 month, people got discouraged. Why? Because the temple was smaller than the first one. The first one was the temple of Salomo. Of course, that temple was built very grand, a lot of silver and stones and gold and all kind of precious stones and the grandest of the grand at that time. But this time, that temple was destroyed by the Babylonian, 586 BC. This time they will build another one, but this one is smaller. So after 1 month, they look at the foundation and they kind of gather all the material again, and they got discouraged after 1 month. This is smaller than before. And then the word of God encouraged them again, and they got going again for 2 months. We learned that when they start rebuilding, that was the month of September. The sixth Jewish month is September in our calendar. 3 months later, if you read Haggai chapter 1, verse 24, and then chapter 2 at the beginning, it tells you actually the dates and the year, the second year of King Darius in the sixth month. Now this is the third time that they got discouraged. What is it all about now? This discouragement. This discouragement is about resources. They built, and there was December, cold, and probably resources are thin, food supplies were low, and the harvest is 4 or 5 months away, and the work is slow. How many know that building something is really slow? Building a building is very slow, right? I mean, you do a lot, but you cannot immediately see the result. I'm talking about building our discipleship life. I'm talking about how slow it is sometimes to see progress. I thought that I'm doing the right thing. I thought that I'm going to church every Sunday. I thought that I am doing ministry, but this life is not moving to the right direction that we feel it need to move. It's a slow process. And people get discouraged. Such is the time that we're talking about. So that's where we're going to enter into our verse today. God is so good. God never give up on you. He knows that his people is easily discouraged. So this is what he said. Look up in the screen. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. These people are looking at their resources. It's thin, minimum, minus. Emotion is minus. Spiritual energy is minus. But God says, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. And this is his encouragement. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. God again is encouraging his people because he knows how easily you get discouraged in your discipleship journey. And look how faithful he is. The problem when we are discouraged, look it up. This is the dictionary definition of being discouraged. Having lost confidence or enthusiasm or disheartened. Disheartened, lost confidence. You are not excited anymore in your journey with Christ. Everything seems to be... You just want to stay in your bed. You don't want to take that next step. When you're discouraged, you're disheartened. Disheartened, look at the key word, the root word of disheartened. What is it? Okay, DVC people, what is the root word of disheartened? There is a word heart in there. Your heart is small. Your heart is small. When you are discouraged, your heart is small. Your mind, your brain, you know what is the right thing to do, but your heart is small. That makes you do not want to do what your brain is telling you what to do. I think a lot of you sit in this room for a long, long time already. You know the theory. You know what God says. You know what you need to do. But your heart is small, that causing you not wanting to do anything. It's called a state of discouragement. When you are discouraged, you tend to be negative to people around you and therefore create a toxic environment for everybody, because we learn also that negative attitude spread like cancer. The state of your discouragement spread. So the church really concerned about this, you know, the church when they say one person is discouraged and you know, before too long, two people, four people, six people, eight people, the discouragement can spread, the whole church become stagnant. That is the danger of the state of discouragement. And that's why God feels it is very important to speak often to the community, as he did in this case. And worse, let me tell you what's the worst when you are discouraged, okay? The worst thing that happened to you as an individual when you are discouraged is you are not living to the fullest the life that God had already given to you, to those who believe him. You are not living life to the fullest. Because why? You don't feel like you want to grow. You don't feel like you want to know the Lord more. You don't feel like you want to know him better, deeper. And you don't want to find out what his plan is. You are discouraged. The worst thing is you are not experiencing the life, the fullest that he wants to give you. That is what happened in the community of Haggai 2,500 years ago. That's why at the beginning of the book of Haggai, God tells the community, come on, guys, you've been eating but not full. You've been drinking but not satisfied. You are wearing warm clothes, but you are still feel the chill and cold in your soul and not protected. Worry about the future. Why? Because you are not building what I want you to build. Yes, you are building your house. Yes, you are building your career. Yes, you are building your grade. But God wants you to build the temple, which is you yourself. That is the problem at that time. That is the problem today. The problem is heart problem. It's never about money. It's never about money. It's about our attitude and our heart. Let me tell you, this is the key. It is about our trust. Our trust. It is because they trust their own strength. It is because they don't trust God. Yeah, they know God is good. The theory is there. The theology is there. Our good Christian spiritual habits and knowledge and our upbringing from a Christian family, from Christian school, from Christian songs, it's all there in the head. Problem is trust. And in fact, I want you to remember this for a long, long time, because this is key to discipleship growth. I wish I have a diagram there. I should have, but just use your imagination. At the top here is your desire. What is it that you want in life? A lot of people want joy and happiness. A lot of people want status and money, whatever it is, desire, blessing. That's what you want, desire. Now, from the top here, it branches to two. How do you get that desire? How do you get it? One is trusting God. One is trusting self. This is your desire that you want. Everybody wants good thing for their life. Happiness, joy, blessing, good job, good status, good husband, good wife. We all want that, and that is a good thing. But how is it? What is the method to get that? One is by trusting God. The other is trusting self. The road to discipleship is always choose trusting God. As you trust God, he's building your discipleship life, your faith. The problem in the Haggai people, three times that they got discouraged, it's all about trusting their own self. The first one is, my culture does not support me to build this temple. They trust the culture to support them. They're waiting for the culture. If the culture is not favorable, not supporting, they stop building. The second one, they got discouraged because of the size of the temple. They're trusting their eyes. Smaller, less glorious than before. Trusting their eyes. The third one, we look that God is encouraging them. Silver is mine, gold is mine. They're trusting themselves, their strength, their resources, their bank account, whatever it is. Oh, I don't have enough to build this temple. I don't have enough spiritual energy. I don't have enough zeal. I don't have enough passion. I don't have enough knowledge. I am lacking this, lacking that. I cannot do it. They're trusting self, not trusting God. The problem is the same today. We're trusting ourselves more in our heart than trusting God. In relationship, one of the problems in modern society today, especially men, but also women, is they feel lonely. Pastor, I'm not lonely. I have 2,500 followers in Instagram or Facebook. I have a lot of relationship. I'm not lonely. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You got a lot of likes and followers, but you never find real connections. We try fulfilling our desire for relationship by hanging out with the crowd, but you feel lonely in the crowd. We put our security in our friend, in people, but people disappoint us because they have their own insecurity that they are trying to deal also. A bunch of insecure people, depending on another insecure people, the result is just an insecure crowd. See, our need of relationship is real. It's legitimate. But our ways is dishonoring God. A lot of us, we turn to pornography in order to fulfill our need of relationship. To drugs, gambling, or anything that can numb our feeling. You turn to that. Academically, getting good grade. We all want, when we are a student, when I'm a student, I want success. I want to get good grade. I want to do well in my school. And I study hard because it is the right thing to do. But then, when we decide to do it by deciding not to honor our appointment with God on Sunday, our goal is good. Good grade is good. But our ways is dishonoring God. I remember I complained to God a lot, and I probably shared this to several people during my time of in college. I accepted Jesus in 1983, some 35 years ago, 34, 35. It's a long time ago. In 1984, Dad went bankrupt. I had to work 35 hours a week in addition to full-time student. Grade went down. But I was just a believer at that time, 83. When it happened, 1 year old, and grade went down. But I went to church. I went to church very faithfully every Sunday. And then because grade went down and because my occupation at that time is a student, I complained to God, God, this does not make sense. I'm your child. I just know you. And my understanding is being a Christian is being blessed. So I accepted Jesus in 1983. Father bankrupt, 84. Grade went down, 85. It's all downhill. And I complain, God, this is not fair. This is not true that you are good. It is not, you are not good because look at all the disaster, all the problems that I'm having. And there was a little conversation of my complaint. You know, sometimes, This is what I'm going to teach you guys. Sometimes in your prayer, it does not have to be all flowery and all good. All God, so good you are. Sometimes you can get angry. It is not wrong. Why? Because the Bible is full of angry prayer. It's called lament. Lament. The book of Lamentation, Jeremiah. That's a lament. Psalm. David cried out like crazy all the time. And before I didn't understand why the book of Psalm is full of crying and complaining and all that thing, you know? Do you understand what's the difference between complaining and lamenting? Complaining is because thing does not happen according to what you want because you think you should be able to fix it. Lamenting is things that's not happening according to what you want, but you know that God can fix it. Lamenting is okay. You can tell God, God, this is terrible, God. The Jewish people. God, are you really faithful to us? You said that we are a blessed chosen nation. Why are we continually under occupation by all this nation that caused our life to suffer? You said that you're going to bring us to the promised land, but look at this. We are suffering. Are you really faithful, God? If you read the Old Testament, it's full of that kind of lamenting. God, you are not faithful. No, you are not faithful. But over again and again, God proved himself that he is faithful. He listened to his people. I did that. God, you are just not fair. I'm your child. I just accepted you. At least, you know, give me something good. And I did pray, God, you can send money miraculously. You can send projects to my dad. You can do all these things because nothing is impossible. But no, he did not do that. That conversation that I had with God, God, you are not fair. And God simply said, what's wrong? And I said, what's wrong? I thought you know me. You know my aspiration. Why you ask me what's wrong? I said, of course, I want to get good grade. I'm a foreign student, and my family's bankrupt, and I need to help them when I finish school. I need to get a job. And who will hire a foreign student with a so-so GPA? And God simply said, continue to be faithful. If a job is what you want, a job is what you will have. I finished school by God's grace. Got a job. I sent out 200 applications. This is a well-known story among some of us. 200 applications. One invited me for interview. Only one out of 200. That one is the one that accepted my application. My first job. That was 1987. 21 years later, that first job still play a role in my current occupation as a computer consultant. God is faithful. And the reason why I know it's him, you know, you may think like, okay, you know, everybody got a job. Yeah, everybody probably got a job. 1 year after I got a job, the boss that hired me came. Just give me two pieces of paper in front of me. And told me, that's your cover letter and your resume. I didn't understand until today why he gave me that. And I did not understand why he has it instead of HR department. But he has it. He had it. He gave it to me in front of me. I don't even understand why he gave me. What is the need to give me that? I don't understand. He gave me that two paper. Should be in the HR department. But maybe he got a copy. The cover letter. I read the cover letter. And no wonder, 200 applications, only one accepted me. Full of grammatical errors. Not only that, logic errors also. It's in there. The way we look for job back then is we look for job in a newspaper. Especially Saturday, Sunday newspaper. Sunday newspaper was published on Friday or Saturday morning. So if you look for a job at that time, you go buy Sunday newspaper on Saturday, and then you look at everything that fit your description, and by Monday, you send out the letter fitting whatever the advertisement is. So it was Tuesday, I remember. The person that was staying with me in that apartment said, hey, did you apply for this one? Yeah, I saw that one. That's an IT admin. Why don't you apply for that one? I said, look, what is the requirement for this job? 2 years. I just graduated. Don't have the necessary requirement. And he told me, this is only 28 cents for you. Because that's the price of the stamp, 28 cents at that time. Just go ahead. And so I totally, okay, fine, because he said so, I just send it. Turns out, so you say the date, you know, the company name, and you said, "Dear sir, I saw your advertisement dated blah, blah, blah in the San Francisco Chronicle newspaper." Okay, that one, there was a time that there is a, I think they are no longer there. I don't know. I mean, nowadays all the paper shut down because of the internet news, right? I don't know if San Francisco Chronicle newspaper is still there or not. I think it's probably in a smaller version. But I said, I saw your, you know, the date, you know, dated. So the date of the letter and the date when I saw it is all reversed. So it seems to me that I already know that there is a job opening before the paper was published. It's all jumbled up, the dates, and because I typed it in a hurry. And when I got that cover letter back from my boss, immediately that same voice that I complained to, that got back, that back then when I was still in college, talked to me. The job that you want, the job is that what you will have. Immediately at that time, I know that was God. None other. God is taking care of my life. God is the one that loves me and never give up. God just said that time when I complained to him, continue to be faithful. At that time, I was a new believer, 2 years old, 1983. That was 1985 when the voice come and speak to me. I was complaining that I probably spent too much time going to Sunday service, too much time in care group. I complained about all that. I need to work 35 hours a day. I mean, a week, a day. You'd be a Superman if you can work 35 hours a day. And God is faithful. See, our goal of getting good grade is good, but a lot of time our ways are dishonoring God. In our career, we want promotion. We want to get ahead, success in our career. We want to show our boss that we are hard worker, we are responsible, proactive, in the hope that our boss recognizes us and will give us the necessary promotion and status. We are willing to do what it takes to go to the next level of that job. Sometimes, even at the cost of our spiritual life that is stagnant. See, the desire for success is good. Our ways sometimes is dishonoring God. That's why God says, gold is mine, silver is mine. Do you know your source? He declares the Lord God Almighty. God again is inviting his people to look at him as a resource that never ends, as a well of fresh spring water that never runs dry. Come to him, surrender our heart to him, being faithful to him, devoted to him, and trust that he will give the blessing on time, and to trust that his solution and his blessing are so much better than anything that we can come up with on our own. You know, for a long time, I live a way of trusting myself more than God. You know, I continue struggling in life until one day I realized why my life is continuing struggling and dissatisfied like this. And thankfully, I had an encounter with Jesus and went through the transformation. And I developed the habit of trusting God. And still until today, I'm practicing that habit of always trusting him. And I can testify to you that now life is worth a living. What does it mean to trust God? Here, trusting God is simply believing that he loves you. He's good. That he has the power to help you. He wants to help you. And he will help you. Now, Christian is called believers, right? We're the believers. But many times, we are more like unbelieving believers. These are oxymoron. Oxymoron is two words put together that does not make sense. Disbelieving believers. But that's who we are a lot of time. We trust our friends. We trust our bank account. We trust the stock market. We trust our government. We trust our professor. But the least is we trust God and His word. That is big problem. That's why people are living a dissatisfied life. John chapter 15, verse 5 says this, I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bear much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, that is cut off from the vital union with me, you can do nothing. Jesus says that apart from him, we can do nothing. We need to lean on him for help with everything in our lives. But this is the sad thing. Listen to me. A lot of people go to church, hear what they should do, and then go home and try to do it again on their own. And they usually end up desperately telling God how hard life is, you know, how suffering they are. They're trying to do what they need to do on their, with their own strength, and they're leaving God out from their lives. God wants us to put him first in our lives. He wants us to put our confidence and trust in him all the time in everything. You know, I used to have a habit also to trusting myself. You know, I formed this habit of trusting myself, and I kind of reflect upon this. Why do I trust myself more? And this is what I find out, at least for me. Through the years, I try to trust other people. But then the thing is, I'm getting hurt and finding out that people disappoint and I couldn't trust them. And this caused me to believe that if you want to done something right, you do it yourself. And if you don't want to have being hurt, then don't trust anybody. Don't ask anybody for anything or open your heart to them. They cannot hurt you if you don't open your heart to them. And so trust yourself. And I'm learning that, oh, don't ask for help. Don't expect anybody to do anything for you. Just trust yourself. That way you will not get hurt. But this mindset just kept me from trusting God. It was a bad habit. It's a bad habit. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord. Yes, of course, you don't trust other people, but also you yourself cannot be trusted. Because your feelings fail you. Your mind sometimes, your reality, what you think is a reality, fail you. That's why Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord. This is an old verse. Everybody have seen this probably. But I want you all to pay attention one more time and see what God is inviting your heart today regarding this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not all your mind, not all your feeling, your heart. Not your thinking, not your intelligence, not your situation, not your parent, not your bank account, but your heart. Trust the Lord. And lean not on your own understanding. See, understanding is in the head, how you process things. Don't do that. Don't lean on it. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That is a wonderful promise. That is a wonderful promise. Jesus said he can direct our path. In other words, he can speak to you. He can direct your path to the right place. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God comes to dwell, to live inside of you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And to me, this is one of the greatest blessings of salvation. You don't have to go through someone else to see God. You can see God. He dwells in your heart, and you can learn to hear his voice. And this is the practical thing. The best way to hear from God and know how he wants you to live is to know what the Bible, his word, says. God's word gives wisdom. And as we study the Bible, our mind is being renewed. We're not thinking like the way the world thinks. We're thinking how God thinks. And when we know how God thinks, you will have confidence that he loves you, that He cares for you, and you will learn to trust Him more as you are being transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind needs to be renewed according to the Word of God. And in this case, good habit really makes the difference. You know, you and I, we continually find ourselves trusting our own self again and again. Even though we sing the song, we know what the principle is to trust God, but by default, we go back again and again and again, just like the Jewish people, to trust their own strength, their own self, to trust other things other than God. So I think developing good habit is really important. How do you develop good habit in trusting God, and not only in principle or philosophy, but in daily action? That is what the difference between mature Christian and so-so Christian is, that our belief is not only in the head, our belief is not only theologically or a thinking system, but we practice daily what we believe. That is what a mature Christian is. So good habit really makes the difference. We have to habitually study the Word to really have confidence in God and know that we can hear Him. Yes, you can hear God. An ABC news person, if you read the news, she made a comment about people hearing from God. He said, this is what she said, I quote, and this is really big in the news in the past month. Talking to God is one thing, but hearing from God is mental illness. Our society, ABC News. Hearing from God is mental illness. She can accept that people can pray, but to have God speak, she call it mental illness. Such is our society. That's ABC Network News, one of the big three or four. Or, of course, what do we expect from the world around us? An unbelieving world. But if you continually listen to that kind of news in your life, no wonder how small your heart is going to be. But when you turn your attention to the Bible, God's Word, when you turn your eyes to Jesus, as we spend time reading and meditating, contemplating the Scripture, you will develop a strong spirit, a spirit that is not easily discouraged. You listen continually to the world around you, and you trust your bank account and your own self-strength. No wonder you cannot win. Your heart will easily get discouraged at the slight little temptation, at the slight little problem. Your spirit is easy to discourage. But when you contemplate, meditate on God's promise, God's Word, and develop that kind of habit day in and day out, your spirit will be strong. Nothing can discourage you if your heart is being big by the Word of God. When you hear God speak to your heart that He dwell in us, you can make decisions based on what you hear from the Word. And He is leading you to do whatever necessary so that you can continue to feel. He's leading us to do what His Word says, not what just we think or what we feel or what we want. When you go beyond what you want, what you think, what you feel, and do what the Word and the Spirit of God tells you to do, then you are able to be strong and encouraged. You can develop new good habits and break bad old ones. And you will come to the place of peace. Haggai chapter 2, verse 9b, after he declared, gold is mine, peace is mine, I mean, silver is mine, gold is mine. After he declared that, this is what God says, and in this place, what place? Our lives, the church, I will grant peace. If you trust me, if you trust my word, if you put your trust only in me and practice that trust daily in your life, I will grant you peace.
Peace means what? No worry. That is peace. What is peace?
That state of calm, whatever the problems is. If your problem is no boyfriend or girlfriend, calm, peace. No problem, bro. No problem, sis. Calm, peaceful. Why? Because you know God got good plan for you. That's why. So I'm going to close a little long today. Well, hopefully you're not too bored. Are you still with me? Yes? Hello? I'm going to end where we started. You know, Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 7, twice God says this. Can I invite the musician? God says this. Consider your ways. Look it up. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 7. Consider your ways. Hold on. Wait. You've been trusting yourself too much and you live like that. But consider your ways. So this is the question for you as I end. You know, somebody said a good preaching, a good sermon is it never ends. Even after the preacher and his words. This is an area that I want you to think about. In what area do you need to trust God more? Is it your relationship? Is it your job right now that you don't have? Is it your boyfriend that you don't have right now? Or girlfriend? Is it financial? Is it unity in your family? In what area you think you need to trust God more? Life is simple and peaceful when we come to God like little children and say, God, I don't want to live on my own. I want to trust you. When I don't know what to do, I'll trust you. When I don't understand why, I'll trust you. I'll do my part with your help, and when I'm done, I'll trust you to do the rest. See, growth, spiritual growth, happen intentionally. You need to develop good habit. So ask ourselves a question. What do I want to practice in my spiritual life, in my daily life, so I can continue to grow in my trust in God? What do I need to practice? What is lacking still? The Word of God says, consider our ways. What is it that we need to consider changing? I know that all of you are reasonable person, reasonable disciple. You do not want to live constantly in a state of discouragement. You want to have a life fullest the way God intended you to be. But it only comes when you put your trust in the Lord and then practice day by day. Salvation is free. Maturity, there is a cost. Listen to this. Salvation is free. You want to get well? You want to have a life that God intended for you to do? It is not free. There is a cost. Are you willing to say, yes, I'm going to pay the cost because I want to grow and trust God? Salvation, free by grace. Character, good habit, living life to the fullest. There are price to pay. Let's all stand.